So let's begin. So we're going to be beginning Masechta Nida. I think, you know, a lot of times before I start a Masechta, it's good to give an overview of what we're going to be dealing with in Masechta. But at this point, a lot of what I would say is not going to be applicable or not going to be relevant yet because it's going to be discussed later in the Masechta. So for now, let's just deal with the topics. For now, let's just deal with introducing the topics that we're going to be talking about in this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, and over time we'll introduce the various other terminology and whatever that we need from Masechta Nida. So we know, of course, what a Nida is. To quote Rabbi Shalom Ber Chaikin from Cleveland, who was my Chassin teacher when he started teaching us for Chassin classes, he started out, once a month a woman bleeds from her uterus. So that's what a nida is, as we all know. There's a time during the month when it's expected that's going to happen, and that makes her a nida. There's a time when it's not expected to happen, and that makes her a zava. As we go through the Masechta, when we need to talk about it, we've already talked about briefly before in Erchin and other places, the difference between a nida and a zava ktana and a zava gdola. In principle, there's supposed to be differences in halacha because it's easy to get confused where you are in the cycle and what if a woman has a suffix, whether a particular episode of bleeding makes her a nida or not, then that messes up her count, et cetera, et cetera. So for all those kinds of reasons, eventually the practice developed and it now has the force of halacha that we treat all women when they bleed as sort of a combination of nida and zava. We treat them as a zava lachumra that they always need 7 clean days, and we treat them like a nida lachumra that they need to tovel at night, not during the day. Okay. Now, one thing we have to realize as we start going through the Masechta, nida isn't seder taharas, which means it's a Masechta, it's one of the Masechtas that deal with dinim of tumah v'tahara. So most of those Masechtas don't have gemara, on account of we practically speaking, many of the dinim of Tumah and Tara nowadays are not applicable while we don't have a Bais Mikdash and while we don't have Parah Aduma ashes, etc. The Nida is the only one that has Gemara precisely because it is applicable nowadays, although actually I've never understood the Kvois also is part of Seder Taharis and it's also applicable nowadays, so are parts of Arlois, and those don't have Gemara, but whatever, okay, anyway. Bottom line is, though, that even within Nida, some of what we're going to be learning is applicable nowadays as well, and some of it is not, because we're going to be talking about the Tumah v'Tahara of a Nida insofar as two different issues. One is she also to her husband or is she mutter to him? That part is applicable nowadays, of course, that's Taharas HaMishpacha. And the other part is she Tomei and Toher as far as Truma and Kodshim and entering the Beit Mikdash and all, and that part is not applicable nowadays. So a lot of the dinim we're going to learn, even some of the ones right here in our first Mishnah, are going to be applicable not so much to her relationship with her husband, but rather to can she eat Truma, can she eat Kodshim. So we're going to need to keep that straight when we're talking about dinim that apply nowadays versus when we're going to talk about dinim that only apply when there's a Bais Mikdash or where, or at least when there's Tumah v'Tahara and Truma and Kodshim and so forth.
So the Kodshim aspect and Truma aspect, we're going to start with that, or we're going to start with the...
Well, that's the thing. The dinim that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, some of them apply, many of the dinim that we're going to learn in our Mishnah actually apply to the Truma and Kodshim aspect. But we're going to be also touching on the Taharas Mishpacha aspect. But as we go through, we're just going to have to keep straight and then try to keep on untangling what applies to one versus what applies to the other.
How was the Mishnah organized this way, which is mixing both aspects together?
Well, practically speaking, when the Mishnah was written, both of them were equally relevant, right? Put it this way, we're going to be starting to talk in our Mishnah, for example, about the question like this. When a woman experiences bleeding, when she sees that blood has come out of her, which makes her a nida, we have to figure how far back is that likely to have started? That's going to be the topic of our Mishnah and then the Gemara on it. So the question is that, so we're going to see, that's not so much relevant to the question. So we're going to see, actually, we're going to see that these two things, Trula and Kodshim, and relationship with her husband, are actually intertwined. There is a difference between them in halacha. There are going to be cases which is mutter to her husband, but tame as far as Trula and Kodshim, but we're still going to see that those two things are in many cases intertwined, and we're going to have, for that reason, opinions and topics or whatever, where we try to keep that, where we try to keep them, where we try to keep them consistent, that if she's tame for truma or kodshim, then she's also tame for her husband and vice versa. So let's begin, and let's begin, and as we start learning, maybe this will become a little clearer. So Mishnah starts off. The Mishnah is starting off actually with one of the three machlokes that Shammai and Hillel themselves had. Usually we have machlokes and a base Shammai and base Hillel. We have about 300 of them all throughout Shas, but we have three machlokes in a Shammai and Hillel themselves, where in each case, our Mishnah being one of them, in each case, the other Chachamim disagreed with both of them, and the halacha ends up being like the Chachamim. You actually have altogether five known machlokes in between Hillel and Shammai, but one of them, Hillel, ended up conceding the Shammai. One of them wasn't their own. They had inherited from previous generations, the machlokes about whether you do smicha and a korban on Yom Tov. But then there are three machlokes in of Shammai and Hillel themselves, and our Mishnah is one of them. So the Mishnah starts off, Shammai Omer, kolan noshim dayan shaitan. All women, when they see that blood has come out of them, dayan, it's enough. Shaitan, their time. Meaning, in other words, that Shammai is saying basically like this. Now, one more thing we have to realize before we get into this is when a woman bleeds from her uterus and becomes a nida or a zaza, she actually becomes tameh as soon as the blood leaves the uterus and starts traveling down, starts going out of the cervix and then down the, and then down the vaginal canal. So even while it's in her body, it still makes her tameh. Practically speaking, unless she does a bedikah, she's not going to know that it's there until it actually flows out of her body. But nevertheless, she is actually tamei when it starts coming out of the womb, when it starts coming out of the cervix, whatever. So the question is, again, basically, you have to figure out, okay, so now she's seen that blood has come out. How far back do we have to be concerned that it actually started? Is it, she found it now, and that means, within the last 30 seconds it started coming out? Or is it possible that it actually came out past, the cervix some time ago, maybe even a few hours ago, maybe even a day, maybe even a few days ago, and just got stopped there and then only eventually then traveled downward? So Shammai says, no, kol hanashim dayan shaitan. It's enough to make them tameh when they actually see that the bleeding has happened. So in other words, Shammai is saying, both as far as Truma and Kodshim, and as far as her husband, we're going to say that she's only Tomei from when she actually sees that the blood has come out. We're not going to be concerned that maybe it started coming out sometime before that and was just blocked inside the vaginal canal for some time. We're not worried about that, says Shammai. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that the reason why Shammai says that is he might have theoretically said, as the Chachamim are going to, and as Hillel is going to in our Mishnah, that at least as far as Truma and Kodshim, we ought to declare them Tomei retroactively, because after all, we've got to be machmir with those. Those are Truma, we're talking about Truma Daraisa over here. The reason why Shammai doesn't want to do that is because, like I said, we're dealing over here not only with Truma and Kodshim, we're also dealing here with Taras and Mishpacha. And the problem is, Shammai figures, if we're going to say that she's Tomei retroactively as far as Truma and Kodshim, then that's also likely to make her husband think, in that case, I had better be careful whenever I have relations with my wife. What if it ends up that sometime afterwards she has, she bleeds, and then it turns out that I was boil a midah, and then maybe I'd better stay away from her more often. And Shammai doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to interfere with their marital relationship. So therefore, he's saying that we don't want to be gozer. We're midaraisa, as the Gemara is going to tell us. Shammai figures that there's definitely no problem. Only once we see the blood over there do we assume her to be tamei. But we could say on the rabbanon level, we ought to consider her tamei retroactively because of truma and kodshim. But Shammai doesn't want to do that because then it might also affect her relationship with her husband. So that's Shammai. Kol Anashim Dayan Shaitan, all women, it's enough to consider them Tomei when they actually, that's Shaitan, at the actual time they see the blood, and not before that. Over Hillel says no. You have to go back to the last time that she did a Bedikra. Pekida, and we know the Shalosh Pakad, Pei Kov Dalet, in Tanakh, always it has a couple of meanings. It means to count, it means to remember, it means to appoint, whatever. But basically, the meaning of it is like to be mindful of something. So over here, we're using it, Hillel is using it as a synonym for Bedikra. When the woman takes a cloth, wash it, and wipes around, all around inside that area, to see if there's any blood anywhere in the canal over there, as far back as she can reach. So Hillel says you have to consider when was the last bedikah she did. Even if it was several days ago, we have to be considered to be on the safe side, says Hillel, at least as far as Truma and Kodshim. Again, not necessarily as far as her husband. We're not going to say that her husband had. So let's say Rashi gives an example over here. Let's say, for example, she did a bedikah on Sunday, and she found that it was tahor. Then the next bedikah she did, let's say, is on Wednesday. And she finds that she's tamei. But now, what we have to do is we have to consider all taharas, all truma or kodshim that she touched from Sunday, from after the bedikah on Sunday, until now, are tamei misafik. They're tamei misafik because what happened, it's possible, conceivably, as soon as she finished the previous bedikah on Sunday, the flow might have started. And she doesn't realize it now until Wednesday when she does the next bedikah. So Hillel was going to say, we are going to make that Zera. Fine. As far as her husband, we're not going to make him Tomei as a boil nigga. We're not going to say that if he had relations with her between Sunday and Wednesday, that he's going to be Tomei. We're not going to go that far. As we said, we don't want to prevent her and her husband from having relations. But as far as Truma and Kodshim, we are going to say, says Hillel, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara, that we're going to declare those Truma and Kodshim Tomei Misafik, as far back as all the way back to the last bedikah. The Chum take a middle ground. They say, Loi Kadirizeh, Veloi Kadirizeh. Not like Shammai and not like Hillel. Shammai is too makel to say that you don't go any time back. I mean, the blood must have started sometime before she found it. And not like Hillel is going to say that you're going days back. It's not going to be held back that long. If it came out of the womb on Sunday, it's not going to first flow out of her body on Wednesday. The Chumim say, we take a middle ground. What it is like this. We do basically the lesser of the two. So the time me'es, which means according to almost all the Mepharshim, 24 hours, that reduces al-yad from one p'kidah to the next. Rashi explains over here that the word al-yad means literally on the strength of. The word yad means strength. A few of the other Mepharshim explain that al-yad means like sort of next to, adjacent to, or whatever. But anyway, what it means is like this, the Chachamim are saying. Let's say, for example, in Hillel's scenario, let's say she did a bedikah on Sunday, and then she did the next bedikah on Wednesday. Let's put times on them. She did the first bedikah on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, let's say, and then she did the second bedikah on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So again, Hillel was going to say that any taharis that she touched from 10:01 a.m. on Sunday are going to be Tomei Misafik, because what if the bleeding started right then? The Chachamim are saying no. What we're going to do is Me'es, the 24-hour period, that is going to reduce from the time of Pekidah to Pekidah. So we're going to say her second Pekidah, her second Bedikah, took place on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Very well. From Tuesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon until Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, any taharis that she touched are tamei, because misafik, because there may have been up to 24 hours where blood started coming out of the womb and it wasn't yet, then and then been traveled down far enough for her to find it. Only 24 hours.
According to Achamim, that there's an exception to that, because if there was a kida that was less than 24 hours that was positive.
That's the next part of the mission. And vice versa, a p'kidah in between reduces the me'es last time. Exactly. If she had done a bedikah that same morning, Wednesday morning, at 10 o'clock in the morning, let's say, then it means that, and she found a tahor, then obviously it means there was nothing before 10 o'clock Wednesday morning. So everything from Tuesday at 3 p.m. until Wednesday 10 a.m. is good. only what's from Wednesday 10 a.m. until only from what's Wednesday at 10 a.m. until Wednesday 3 p.m. is Talmud Mistafik, Seder Chachamim. Right. I mean, part of that Hillel would agree with also. Obviously, Hillel would have to agree that if there was a Pekidah, then you know, obviously there was nothing there, there was nothing there. Hillel's point was if there hadn't been a Pekidah for several days, then you have to consider that it was Talmud Mistafik the whole time, whereas Shammai is saying not, and the Chachamim also saying not. Shammai is saying that's only Dayan Shaitan, and then the Chachamim are saying 24 hours in that case. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Kol Ishesh Yesh Lo Ves. Any woman who has a vest, a veses really is the proper pronunciation of it, but everybody always says vest. A vest means a fixed cycle. Actually, we're going to see as we go through the Masechta that the word vest actually sort of has a double meaning. It can mean a fixed cycle of a certain number of days. And by the way, we're going to see as we go through the Masechta, in those times it seems to have been most common, more often than not, that a woman had a regular cycle of a certain number of days, or a certain day of the month, or a certain pattern in the month, etc. As we'll see, we'll talk about it. I think in the fourth paragraph, we'll get into those. We'll get into that into that level of detail. Nowadays, it's almost the other way around. The vast majority of women don't have a regular cycle. It's one of those examples in the Shanu Akivin. That's where people's nature seems to have changed from then till now. Anyway. So that's one meaning of a vest is an expected time when her period is going to come. A particular day of the month, a particular day of the week, whatever it is. The other meaning of vest, as we're going to see in our Masechta, is that sometimes you have some women who have various premenstrual symptoms. And nowadays, you know, you talk about PMS, for example, but we're going to have also, I think, in the fourth paragraph, we're going to talk about, for example, different physical sensations that some women have shortly before their period comes. It might be headaches, it might be trembling, it might be hot flashes, whatever. So those also are called vests. And in fact, when we get to them, we'll talk about them. That's a shame. Well, they're such things are called vest haguf, a vest that's based on sensations in her body. Anyway, the point is, on Mishnah, the Pashtus is using vest in the more general sense of both of them. So any woman who has a vest, any woman who has a known time or known conditions under which she gets her period, then Gaya Shaita, then for her we say Gaya Shaita because then you don't have a concern that the blood may have started sometime before that. We have a chazaka, as we're going to see in our Masechta, called Orach Bizmanei Ba. The period comes at its expected time. So if she has a known vest, let's say she has a known vest that always comes, let's say every 15th day of the month, to give an example that we're going to have later on. So she has every month, she always has her period on the 15th of the month. Well, then, in that case, then we don't have to worry about that. It may have started on the 14th or the 13th or what have you, because we have the chazaka already that was already established three times that it comes dafka on the 15th. There is one of the Achronim wants to say that even so, maybe it only applies if she did a bedikah shortly before that, because otherwise, what time of the day might have happened? It's not necessarily, you know, the 15th. It's the 15th. It might have started first thing in the morning. It might have started later in the day. Most of the other Achronim don't accept that. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, Baham Meshameshet, the Idim Harezu Kivkida. Also, when a woman has relations and uses idim, and I'll explain in a second what idim are, then that also counts as a pekidah. What are idim? You actually have them. The portion explained there are two ways of putting nekudas on this word. We have it in front of us, of course, without nekudas. Ayin dalad yod shlosmen. One way of punctuating that is edim, which means witnesses, and the other way is idim with a chirik under the ayin, which means worn out cloth. The point is, we're going to learn further on in our perek and the next perek, that a husband and wife are supposed to check themselves, are supposed to wipe themselves with cloth before and after tashmish, before and after having relations, to make sure that she hasn't bled. And again, we should point out, now you didn't learn that kind of detail in chassam classes about checking before and after every time necessarily. That is one of those details that is relevant only when there are truma and kodshim to deal with, because you want to make sure that he doesn't have the truma of Baal Nida. You want to make sure that if he or she touches truma or kodshim afterwards, that they're not going to be metame them. so far as when it comes to Taras Mishpacha, then you don't have you still have to do certain bedikas, which we'll get to, but not quite as much as that. Anyway, the point is that the point is like this. So we're going to learn later on what's supposed to be is they're supposed to both wipe and check themselves before and after Tashmish. So therefore, now we're saying if she has relations during that time, so again, to take Hill's example, let's say she did a bedikah on Sunday, then she did the next bedikah on Wednesday, but if in between she had relations with her husband on Tuesday night, and she did bedikahs before and after, then hareza p'kidah, and it also counts like a p'kidah. And therefore, as the Chachamim would say, therefore that reduces the 24-hour period. So therefore, it reduces the amount of Suffolk Truma time from, it reduces part of the 24 hours, because you only have to go back to that bedikah and not 24 hours back. And it also reduces the time between that and the last proper bedikah. The point is, in other words, that the point is, Rashi over here uses the expression that mentions over here that we're talking about, that she checked before Tashmish. Most of the other Mephoshim disagree with that, because the Gemara ends up saying later on that we're talking primarily about the one after Tashmish. But the point being that the one before Tashmish, she may do in a hurry. She's eager to have relations with her husband, so she may not do a thorough bedikah so much before Tashmish. So therefore, the Gemara ends up saying later that we're primarily talking about the one after Tashmish. That one is carefully done. The only possibility is, as the Gemara says over there, that maybe you would think maybe a little bit of blood came out, but then it was covered with shechlas dara, and therefore you don't see it. Maybe we should be concerned that doesn't count as a regular bedikah. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that, no, it does count as a regular bedikah. We're not concerned about that possibility that there's a drop of blood hidden in shechlas dara. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. And by the way, the Gemara is going to point out that the Mishnah is not just telling us if she has relations using idim or adim, whatever, using cloth. Again, either they're called adim as witnesses, because they testify whether she's a nidder or not, or they're called idim, with a chiruk under the ayin, because worn out cloth, because that's what you use. You use white cloths that are somewhat worn out, so that way they're soft, that way they don't scratch her. So the Gemara is going to point out later, by the way, the Mishnah is not just telling us if she used such cloth. The Mishnah is actually telling us, again, as the Gemara is going to explain, that she's supposed to. There is actually a requirement in Halacha for her to use cloth to check herself before and after, as we'll see in the Gemara. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Keita daya shaita. What do we mean when Shammai says daya shaita? What does he mean by that? So hoisi yeshebes b'mita, suppose a woman is sitting on a bed or a couch, v'asukah b'taras, and she's working with taras, she's preparing food of truma or kodshim, u'persha, then she left that, she put down the food she was working with and went to do something else, v'rasa, and now she's found that she was a nida. So if we say dayashaita, it means hitmeh v'hen tahoris. She is Tomei, because fine, now she found that she's Tomei Nida. However, the Taurus that she was working with remained Tahor, if we say Daya Shaita. By the way, a lot of the Rishonim talk about over here, the question, Tosfos, for example, has a long discussion of it. We have a usual rule that says that Sofik Tumah B'Shusarabim Tomei, that if you have a case of doubtful tumah in Rosh Hashanah, then it's considered tumah misafik. We learn it from Sofer. So why don't we apply that over here? It's a Tosfos and many other Mephoshim, many other Rishonim have long discussions about why over here we shouldn't just say that it's tumah misafik on those grounds. Tosfos gets into a long discussion of it. One is that from Sofer we only learn that she's Tomei Misafik now. We don't learn anything about the past. Here we're trying to deal with the question, how far back is she or the Taurus Tomei? Another consideration over here is that with the Sota, on the other hand, you have the flip side of it. The Sota, you don't know whether she's Tomei or not. Eventually, she's going to drink the May Sota, and then you're going to find out whether she's Tomei or not. As opposed to over here, the fact is, right now, she's Tomei in front of us. Now the only question is, how far back as it goes. So that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. That's those sorts of considerations and other ones are what drive the machlokas in our Mishnah. Okay. Mishnah finishes off. Even though we're saying that even though we're saying, according to the Chachamim, that she's tameh as far back as 24 hours before she actually saw the flow, if there wasn't a bedikah during that time. But even though we're saying she's tameh mitzvah 24 hours back, ein amoina ela mishashar asa. But when it comes to counting the yemei nigah, then she only counts from when she actually saw the flow. So that you have the 7 days of nidah that count from, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, the 7 days count from when she actually sees the flow of blood. The Rambam has a different shita about that. We'll talk about the Rambam's shita as we go along, Rav Hashem. But according to almost everybody else, the 7 days begin each month when she actually has her flow for that month. So we're saying, in other words, that let's say it happened on Wednesday afternoon. So we're saying, according to the Chachamim, that again, if there was no bedikah within those 24 hours, she's tameh misafek going back 24 hours. But the Mishnah is finishing off over here. You should know, when does she count? What does she count? It's her first day of her 7 days of nidah. She counts that actually only Wednesday. So Tuesday is not considered a day of her nidah, even though conceivably the bleeding might have started at that point. We only count it from when she actually saw, which is Wednesday, and Tuesday, the following week, Tuesday is going to be her seventh day. So, my time is Shammai. Why does Shammai say Daya Shaita? Isn't there the possibility, after all, that started sometime before that, like Hillel and like the Chacham were saying? The reason is Kasavar Hamid Ishal Chazkasa. Because Shammai holds, look, you have to give her her chazaka. You want to say misafik that she's tameh, but after all, she had a chazaka being tahor before that. So therefore, keep the chazaka. Keep the chazaka for as long as possible. Obviously, once the chazaka is broken, once we see that there is blood, then there's nothing to talk about. But Shammai is saying the chazaka is strong enough to say that up until that point, we should consider her tahor. She has a chazaka of being tahor up to that point. So therefore, Shammai is saying that's good enough. Therefore, daya shaita. Now, what would Hillel answer to that? He would say, sure, you can say that something keeps its chazaka, where the negative possibility, the thing that breaks the chazaka, where it doesn't come from the actual thing itself. So let's say, for example, food that is a suffix, whether it's tameh or tahor, let's say the food itself doesn't become tameh or tahor. It becomes tameh or tahor by touching something else. So fine, you can say, for example, if you have, let's say, food that was known to be tahor, and now you have, at some later point, you find, let's say, that a sheret touched it, and now it's tameh. Fine, Hillel says, I can accept that you're going to say that it still retained its chazaka. We're not going to assume that the sheretz was there for that long. We're going to assume it only came there just now. Let's say, fine. But over here with a nida, aval itza, but when it comes to a woman, kiven demigufa kachadia, the blood comes out of her own body. And not only that, it comes out of her own body, but it's an expected thing that every so often she's going to bleed and she's going to come tameh. So Hillel says, how can you say, give her her chazaka? The thing that breaks the chazaka is something, there is a natural part of her monthly cycle, and it comes from her herself. It's something expected to happen. So what kind of chazaka? Again, as we said in the Mishnah, it's one thing if she has a vest. But again, all Mishnah is talking about if she doesn't have a regular vest. So we never know at any time. You have the eleven Yemei Ziva, which we'll talk about eventually. But at least during most of the months, she's susceptible to bleeding any time. So Hillel says, what do you mean? What kind of chetkas tahara? You have an equal chazaka. You have an equal and opposing chazaka that she's going to bleed at some point.
But the chazaka is based on seeing the blood, not on
No. The chazaka is based on not seeing the blood. The chazaka is based on that up until now, she was tahor. She went to the mikvah last month, and now since then, she's been continuously tahor. So Shammai is saying very well, until we have something that clearly breaks that chazaka, then we can't make her tameh. Hillel is saying, but you're telling me you have a chazaka that she was tahor. Hence that, you have a chazaka that at some point she's going to bleed. So why is one chazaka and then that second chazaka is migufa? It comes from her herself. It's an intrinsic part of her being a woman. Is that occasionally she's going to be tameh? So what do you mean? What?
How can you say how can you say that a future event that's unpredictable or is a chazaka, a positive event?
No, but, well, let's put it this way. It's 100% for sure that's going to happen at some point, right? We just, the question is when did it happen?
No, it's not 100% sure. At all.
No, listen, I mean, okay, well, obviously eventually she's going to reach menopause, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about doing... Yeah.
As you just said at the beginning, that today the periods are very, very unpredictable, and they come whenever they want to come.
That's exactly
right. So it's a future event that's unknown in terms of temporality. You cannot say it's a chazaka.
Hold on. Right now, we have in front of us, the fact is she has bled. So now the question is, how far back did that start? We're not even talking about something that may or may not happen. We're talking about, right now, we know for a fact that she's tummy. As of Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m., unquestionably she's tummy because there's blood there. Now the question is, how far back does that tumor go? Could it conceivably have gone back as far as Sunday, which is when she last did her gig? So Shammai is going to say no. She has a chazaka. On Sunday, she still had a chazaka of being tahor because the previous days she had already been tahor. Therefore, we assume she's still tahor. The Silo is saying, yeah, but on the other hand, we have against that. Right now, we see she's tahor. We're talking about a tumor that comes from her herself, something that is known that it's going to happen regularly, or not regularly, whatever, something that's known that's going to happen every so often. And now we see it actually happen. So now you want to determine how far back it may have happened. What do you mean? On Sunday, she has a chazaka being tahor. Against that, on Wednesday, we see that she's tame, and we have no particular reason to think that it was on Wednesday any more than on Sunday.
Now, on Sunday, there was no blood, so she did have a chazaka that she was tahor.
Hold on. On Sunday, when she did the bedikah, of course, there was no blood. Hillel has no problem with that. The question is, what happened after that bedikah? Is it conceivable that the moment she finished that bedikah, that blood started? Hillel was saying yes. You're telling me cheskas tahara, but cheskas tahara doesn't work, says Hillel, when you have opposing it a chazaka migufa, a chazaka that she is prone to becoming tamei, and where we actually see eventually right now that it happened. How far back did it actually happen? Hillel saying we have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, but the flaw of the argument is that it depends on what you base the chazaka on. Is it on blood, seeing blood, and you cannot go back to say, well, the blood started whatever period of time.
But hold on. That's why I mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, and this is a crucial point, which Rashi mentioned and the Rashi mentions in the very first Rashi on the Mishnah. We have to remember this crucial point. She becomes tame as soon as the blood exits her womb. So therefore, it is conceivable that it started sometime before. The only reason why Shammai is discounting that was saying is because of Cheskas Tahara. But Hillel is saying, okay, but the fact of the matter is that there is the possibility it started sometime before. She does have, against her current Cheskas Tahara, you have an ongoing chazaka that she is going to become tame at various times. Right now, we see that that actually happened. We finally find on Wednesday that happened. Maybe it happened as far back as Sunday after her bedikah. Given that it is possible, given that usually when she sees blood, it will have started sometime before that. So Hillel is saying we have to extend that time all the way back to the last time when you can say that when you can say we know for sure that she was tahor, namely her last bedikah. Any time after that, so you have a cheskas tahara on the one hand, but you have a cheskas tuma migufa on the other hand, and those two, says Hillel, cancel each other out.
I have another question.
Okay.
Medically speaking now, what is the amount of blood that has to be seen? And the reason I'm asking this is that...
Even the tiniest amount. Even tipas dam kachardol, a mustard-sized seed drop of blood, is enough to make her talk.
Medically speaking, there could have been a numerous amount of tiny hemorrhages that she was never aware of that stayed inside. And is that considered
The Gemara is going to take up that point. The Gemara is going to take up that point too. So hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to get to that soon. Okay.
Does that change the whole thing?
No, well, we'll see. It doesn't change the whole thing, but we'll see. It does have a certain effect. We'll talk about it soon in the Gemara. Okay. Rashi over here mentions, by the way, a girsa that he had in manuscripts in front of him that mentioned that the Gemara makes a distinction over here that when do you say that Sofik Tumah is Tahar? Only when it's a Sofik, for example, whether the person touched something of Tumah or not, as opposed to over here we're talking about a Tumah that comes from her own body. Rashi doesn't like that girsa, and that's why we don't have it in the Gemara in front of us, because Rashi says that has to do with the question of Sofik Tumah versus Hayachad versus versus Rabim. That's not what we're dealing with over here. On the other hand, again, Tosfos, in their long discussion of this that I mentioned before, they do seem to accept that girsa, and they do explain in what ways this case over here is and isn't similar to Sota. Again, because on the one hand with a Sota, we're talking about only what is she telling me from now on, not necessarily we're not dealing with what happened in the past. Before she was secluded with this other guy, as opposed to here, we're trying to figure out how far back is this woman Tomei. On the other hand, here we know for a fact that she's Tomei. By Sota, we don't. The person says it's not really directly comparable to Sota. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara. So that's the basic difference between Shammai and Hillel. Shammai says she has a Cheskatara. Hillel says yes, but on the other hand, there's also a Cheskat Tumah Migufa, and therefore those two cancel each other out. The question is, why? How is this case different from a mikra? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Mikvahs, mikra shenimda v'nimta chaser. Suppose that we know that mikra has to have 40 saw or more of water in it. So suppose you have a mikra that at one time had 40 saw, and then at one point you measured it and found that it was missing some water, it was less than 40 saw. So what happens, the question is, did anybody who toveled in it, or any kalim that were toveled in it, did they become tar? Was it a proper mikveh when you toveled those things? Or was it not? And then they remained tummy. So the din is, kol taras shenasu agabav, any taras that were prepared as a result of things that were dipped in this mikveh, meaning any people who were tummy and dipped in a mikveh and dipped in this mikveh, and then worked and then touched or worked with preparing Tara food, or any kalim that were dipped in this mikveh because they were Tomei and now you're using them to prepare Tara food. So all Taras, retroactively, back to the time when the mikveh was actually measured, Ben B'Shosayachid, whether we're talking about a Sofik Tumah in B'Shosayachid or in B'Shosarabim, Tomei, all of those are Tomei. So in our scenario over here, let's say they checked the mikveh on Sunday and they found that it had 40 saw, and then they next checked it on Wednesday and found that it was down to 39 saw. So we're saying any taharis, any people who toveled in there between Sunday and Wednesday, and any kalim that were toveled in there between Sunday and Wednesday are tomei. Now when we say tomei, when it comes to food of truma and kachin, keep in mind there's three different levels. We have tomei, which means definitely tomei, and we actually have to burn it for considered definitely tomei. We have tahor, which means that you're allowed to eat it. And then you have toilin, and then you have where it's in suspended state. We're not sure there's a sophic, whether it's tomei or tahor. And therefore, instead of burning it, we leave it on a side and until something happens to make it definitely tomei, or if it's chomet until our Pesach or whatever, and then we can dispose of it. Now, our Mishnah that we're quoting, there's a Mishnah that we're quoting from Mikvahs, is saying that in this scenario, all of the taharis that were prepared using dishes, let's say, that were toveled in this mikvah on Sunday afternoon and on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday, until we found that the mikvah is lacking water, all of them are tmeis, implying tomei vadai, implying that we actually have to burn them. So now the question is, on all the tanoim in our Mishnah, l'shamai kashal mafreya, according to Shammai, what happened to the Chezkas Tara? This mikveh was checked on Sunday. Shouldn't it still have a Chezkas Tara that it was still good until we actually measured it on Wednesday and find that it was lacking? So why are we saying over here that we consider all the Tara's tomei retroactively back to Sunday? L'hilo kashavada. And according to Hillel, and actually Rashi points out, according to the Chachamim as well, it's a question why are we saying that's a vada tomei. Both Hillel and the Chachamim in our Mishnah seem to only be saying that it's at most a sofik. okay, you have, she has the chesed of tara. On the other hand, you have the chesed of tumah migufa. So fine, those two cancel each other out. That doesn't mean she's vaday tumah, beginning from Sunday or beginning from 24 hours ago, according to the chachamim. It just means it's suffering. So why over here is this Mishnah in the case of the mikveh saying that all the taras are vaday tumah? Because the Mishnah is using the expression tmeyas. If the Mishnah had meant to say that it's a suffix, then the expression should have been tluyas. The expression should have been that any tariff that would put, so if you tovel a pot in this mikveh Sunday morning, and then you checked it and you found it's still 40 sah, then good. If you cooked truma in that pot, then the truma is still good. But then later on, after you measured it on Sunday, if you took another pot that was tummy and dipped it in there on Sunday afternoon, then we would say it's a suffix. Did the mikveh still have its 40 saw of water as it was measured that morning, or had it already leaked and now it's other water had been removed from it or whatever, and now it's less than 40 saw? And if that were the case, the pot would be tummy and the truma that was cooked in it would also be tummy. But that's only a suffix on the face of it. But the Mishnah is not saying it's a suffix. The Mishnah is calling it a vaday. The Mishnah is saying tnayim. The truma that we cooked in that pot Sunday afternoon is definitely tummy and we got to burn it. So what do you mean? So according to Shammai, the whole din is a question. And according to Hillel, and according to the Chachamim, fine, the whole din isn't a question, but why are we saying that's a vaday? According to Hillel, it's only a suffix, and according to the Chachamim, it's also only a suffix. Dilum me'esla eschim and nidda tolin, when it comes to the 24 hours prior of nidda, when we're talking about the several days prior of the hill of Hillel, then we're saying it's only tolin. It's not definitely that she became tamei as soon as she finished her bedikah on Sunday. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. So any truma that she touched during that time is tummy misafik. So it's only a toy. It's only toilin. We only suspend it. Loy oichlin, loy surfin. We're not allowed to eat it, but we don't burn it either, because you're not allowed. Just like you're not allowed to eat truma that's tummy, you're also not allowed to burn a truma unless it's tummy, or otherwise dispose of it unless it's tummy. So like this, when you have truma which is safik tummy, then you have to be toilin. So that's in that case. Whereas the Mishnah in Mikvos that we're mentioning, in the case of the Mikvah, seems to be saying that the food is Tomei Vadei. Why? The answer is Hosam Mishum the Ikalamei Mohammed Tomei Afeskosei. The reason is because when it comes to the Mikvah, you have another entity to consider. You don't just have the question of whether the Mikvah itself has 40 sol or not. You also have to consider the Tomei person or the Tomei Keli that was dipped in that mikveh. That itself has a chazaka. It has a chazaka that up until then it was Tomei. So then Hamid Tomei al-Chazaka. So you have to consider the Tomei still retains its chazaka, the Emaloi Tomei. So therefore, maybe he didn't Tomei properly. The same way as we said before that a woman has a cheskas tara, we know that since she went to the mikveh, she was until she did her last bedikah, she was definitely Tomei. The same way, in reverse, we can say a person who was Tomei, we know for a fact that he was Tomei, you want to break that chazaka, you need something definite to break that chazaka. In this case, you don't have anything definite, so therefore you have a chazkas tumma would tell us, therefore, that he's still Tomei, that the mikveh that he dipped in, which now eventually you found that mikveh is missing water, the chazaka on him himself tells us that he's still Tomei.
Said the woman is
The woman was known to be tahor up until and including her last bedikah. The tamei was known to be tamei up to this point. You're asking about the chazaka of the mikveh, but forget about the chazaka of the mikveh. The tamei himself has a chazaka of being tamei. You want to break that chazaka, you need something definite. And in this case, you don't have because the mikveh eventually was found to be missing. Okay, the Gemara says, Adrabah Haman Mikvah al-Cheskotah ve'emol al-Cheskotah. Okay, but you could argue the other way around. Mikvah also has a Chazaka. When you check the Mikvah, it was 40 Sah. That creates a Chazaka that continued to be 40 Sah. So therefore, you should say ve'emol al-Cheskotah. So maybe it wasn't missing any water until we actually found that it was. So why should we say that we should consider that all the Taras are Tomei Vadei as a result of it? Okay, but the bottom line is, on Wednesday you check the mikveh and you find it's only got 39 sah. So obviously at some point water leaks out of it. So you can't give the mikveh its chazaka. That chazaka is canceled out by the fact that now you see it's chazaka. So what do you mean? You could say it wasn't chazaka. And Mar says, well, then in that case, in our Mishnah also, Hachanami Haridam Lefanecha, nu, and in our Mishnah also, when she checks on Wednesday, she finds blood. At that point, obviously, the chazakah is broken. So why should we say that with the woman, again, according to Shammai, we say we're not going to consider it retroactively at all. According to Hillel, we are, but only Misafik, all the way back to Sunday, but only Misafik. According to the Chacham, only 24 hours back, but only Misafik. Whereas in the case of Mikveh, you're saying, once we found that it was lacking, then we're going to say that all the Taharis are Tomei Vadei. What's the difference? If you're going to say it's because now we see the Mikveh is missing water, we also see that she bled. The answer is, Hashtahu D'Chazai. The answer is, okay, but we can say that maybe only right now she started bleeding. Okay, well then the question is, Hachanami Hashtahu D'Chazai, nu, and with the Mikveh you could say the same thing, that you could say that maybe only one saw went missing just now, right when we checked it and found 39, maybe as of 5 minutes ago it was still whole. The same way as what the woman was saying, maybe as of 5 minutes ago she was still tahor.
One second. There's a difference between the nida and the mikveh, and that difference goes back to the assumptions that we spoke about. The mikveh is tamei when you measured it and you found out that there was water that was missing from the 40 seers.
Mm-hmm.
For the nida, we're saying, well, we're assuming that she bled prior to seeing the blood. Why do we make a difference between what we consider, on one side, it has to be measured, and on the other side, for the woman, it has just to be assessed.
No, one second. Hold on. According to Hillel and according to the Chachamim, we're actually being more makel with the Nida than we are with the Mikveh. By the Mikveh, we're saying that all the Taharis are definitely Tomei, going back to Sunday. With the Nida, we're saying that only the Tlui. We're saying that according to Hillel back to Sunday, and according to the Chachamim 24 hours back, that they're only doubtfully Tomei.
Yep. That the Mikveh was checked, and we're sure that there's missing
but
water.
But she was also checked. She was also checked.
Afterwards.
No. Well, that's what we mean. No. One second.
The Mikveh is missing water at the time that it is checked. The woman is bleeding, but it's not, the vision of blood is not defined by Hillel at the time that she started bleeding. The start of the bleed was prior to the seeing the bleed. That's where the difference is between
Hold on. The question is like this. Right now, on Wednesday, we're finding that this mikveh has 39 stars. How far back was that the case? And the same thing with the woman. On Wednesday, she saw bleeding. How far back does that bleeding go? It's exactly the same question.
No, it's not the same question because, again, we for the mikveh, we measure the water, and then we go back in time. For the woman, we see the blood coming out, but that's according to Shammai, but according to Hillel, not necessarily.
No, I'm not understanding. According to Hillel, we do go back. We go back all the way to her last bedikah, says Hillel. Conceivable that right after her last bedikah she began bleeding, and then the vaginal walls held in that blood until now, and therefore it didn't flow out, so it's now 2.5-3 days later, and now first we're seeing it, but maybe it started right after her previous bedikah, and the same exact thing with the mikveh. We should argue that right after we measured it on Sunday, somebody may have gone, let's say, and removed a saw of water from it, or a saw of water may have evaporated or whatever. You know, you can probably find any number of scenarios where a saw goes missing. It doesn't have to be a whole saw, by the way. A saw is a lot of water to go missing, but fine. I mean, even if it's a small amount less than a saw, even if it's a quarter, whatever. The point is that it's the same way with a woman. All you need is a tiny bit of blood. The point is that you have the same consideration in both places. In both cases, we know that as of Sunday at 10 o'clock, everything was good. We know that as of Tuesday at 3 o'clock, it's no good. When during that period did it go bad? According to Hillel, in both cases, we're saying it may have been as far back as Sunday at 10:01 a.m., right after we did the bedikah, right after we did the measurement. Therefore, he's going to be metame. But the problem even is, according to Hillel, that in the case of the nida, we're saying it's only tamei misafik, and in the case of the mikveh, we're saying it's tamei vadei. And according to the Chachamim and according to Shammai, the question is even worse, because according to Shammai, in the case of the Nidah, we don't go back retroactively at all. We say she's only Tomei as of 3 o'clock on Wednesday and not a minute before that. And according to the Chachamim, we're saying she's only Tomei as of 3 o'clock on Tuesday and not a minute before that. Whereas when it comes to the Mikvah, the Mishnah is saying over there, it's a Stam Mishnah, everybody seems to agree with it, that anything from Sunday at 10:01 a.m. is no good. So that's the Gemara going back and forth over here. We could argue that with the case of the mikveh, you also have to consider the chazakah of the tamei person or the tamei keli, and it has a chazakah of being tamei. But the problem is, you should also consider the chazakah of the mikveh. But you say, but the mikveh's chazakah is broken because you find it missing water. Okay, but she also, her chazakah is broken because you see that she has blood. And if you're going to say that hers only started right now, you could say the mikveh's only started right now also. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta. How do you compare the two cases? And this gets back to what you were saying before about little amounts of bleeding. When it comes to, we find on Wednesday afternoon, we find the mikveh has only 39 saw, let's say. Does that mean that one saw went missing all at once? Probably not. It's probably a little went missing here, a little there. And the moment it gets below 40 saw, automatically it's not a kosher mikveh anymore. So in other words, yes, it could very well be that only right before we found, that only that we checked it Wednesday at 3 o'clock. It could be that only at 3 o'clock did it lose that last little bit of water and now became 39 saw exactly. But an hour ago, it may have been 39 saw and one kurtov, and 2 hours ago, 39 saw and two kurtov, et cetera, et cetera. But in that case, then, on Sunday at 10, we measured it and found it to be 40 saw. A moment later, it may have lost a kurtov, and that's enough to make it possible.
Practical question. Normally we fill it with more than 40 stars in case something like that could happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, practically speaking, yes. I mean, for example, modern mikvahs are usually made, you know, modern mikvahs, the reservoir that you have in the back of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch Yoredei, you have instructions over there in particular that Rabbi Yaakov Landau heard from the Rebbe Rashab about how to construct a mikvah in Rostov, and all Chabad mikvahs, at least since then, follow that. And the Zelt also, I mean, they don't do exactly the same things over there, but broadly speaking, many of the things are still the same. And yeah, that's among other things that the reservoir for rainwater should be twice as large as it needs to be in case some water leaks out. Leaking out actually is another problem actually, but whatever. In case let's say dirt collects on the bottom over there and displaces some of the water. Yeah, obviously in real life you would usually have a mikveh is going to have more than 40 saw to be on the safe side. But okay, same thing though. The point is, let's say we measure the mikveh. But the same idea. In other words, that a mikveh doesn't necessarily go from over 40 to under 40 saw all at once. It may be a slow process, and in that case, then yeah, you could very well say that process began after the last time you checked the mikveh, as opposed to when it comes to the woman over here, what are you going to say that she keeps on having bleeding? The moment the first blood comes, she's going to be telling me, what's the logic? You don't have like that. You're not going to have like that. Like you keep in mind, you know, we're not talking about, you mentioned the word hemorrhage before. I mean, keep in mind, we're talking about nidah blood over here. We're not talking about something pathological. We're talking about her regular monthly cycle. When her uterus is shedding its lining, we're not going to have that one drop comes out and then later on another drop comes out. The pashtus, yeah, when it goes all at once. So you're not going to have, for example, that right after her bedikah on Sunday, one drop came out and then an hour later another drop came out. It doesn't usually work that way. So that being the case, then there's more reason to say with her that the bleeding only started very close to when she actually saw it. So according to Shammai, that's good enough to say that we don't even care what happened before that. Daya Shaita. According to Chachamim, we're going to say 24 hours back, or the last bedikah, whichever was closer. According to Hillel, fine, we're going to be machmir and say just to be on the safe side. But even so, it's not going to be vadei tamei. As opposed to the mikveh, a mikveh regularly, if it's going to lose water, it may well lose it in stages. And therefore, there's more reason to say that it's vadei tamei. So the Gemara asks back, oh, my kusha, why is that such a problem? Sure, it could happen that she bleeds a little bit at a time. Dilma hagas hagas chazise. Maybe actually she did. Maybe she had hagas hagas, and then she had a flow. What does hagas hagas mean? Hagas hagas literally means the bigger the bigger. So in other words, Rashi explains, suppose that you have, let's say, so you have more and more blood collecting in the uterus. More and more blood is collecting in the uterus, and eventually, as it collects, it starts dripping out. Just starts dripping out, a drop here, a drop there. Maybe it doesn't come all at once necessarily. Maybe usually it does, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It could come out a little at one point, sort of like Rashi describes. Let's say, imagine like you have, so to speak, like the uterus. Let's say can only hold a certain volume of blood. Let's say. So once it reaches, it would be sort of like an overfilled bag. Once you have, if you overfill a bag with water, let's say, then one drop will leak out, and then the rest of it will still stay in. Later on, as water keeps pouring in, another drop will leak out, etc. So the same way over here, you might have, in that sense, that yeah, you might have each time as the uterus gets filled, then one drop will come out. Yeah, you could actually have then like that it comes piecemeal, sort of like a mikveh that loses water piecemeal. So what's the difference? The answer is okay. The Gemara says fine, but ultimately hasan ikah tauti l'reisa, hacha ikah chada l'reisa. Fine, but in the case of the mikveh, we have another. You're right. As far as the actual facts on the ground, it could very well be a woman could be like a mikveh, and the blood could come piecemeal, just like the water missing in the mikveh could be piecemeal. But the difference is that with the mikveh, you have a double chazaka for bad. Number one, you have the chazaka that now the mikveh is found to be chaser, which creates the possibility that it may have been chaser before that as well. You also have the chazaka that we said before, that the tameh person or the tameh keli that was dipped in the mikveh also has a chazaka of being tameh up until this point, and therefore in order to be able to say that they're tahor, you need to know definitely that they're tahor, that they definitely dipped in a kosher mikveh. So those two chazakas for the bad, those two reisus, those two negative chazakas are enough for us to say therefore that everything that was dipped in this mikveh up until this point is vadei tameh, as opposed to with the woman. On the other hand, with the woman, you only have one reyesa, because up until now she had a cheskes tara, and now you find that cheskes tara is broken and she's tummy. But you don't have two reyesa. There's no second object over here to. I mean, you have the truma and kochim, actually, and the kochim point out, but obviously those are going to follow her. If she's tummy, then they're tummy, and if she's tara, they're tara. So they're not really an independent item, as opposed to when you have something that was dipped in a mikra, it had its own independent chazaka beforehand, and now you're talking about, is it tummy or not? Is it still tummy or not? So with the woman, you only have one reyesa. Therefore, according to Shammai, that means we're not going to worry about retroactively at all. And according to Hillel and the Chachamim, even we are going to worry about retroactively, but only misafik, not mivadai. As opposed to with the mikveh, where we have two reyesas, that's reason enough to say that's vadei tamei.
So the mikveh wins, basically.
Well, the mikveh wins in the sense that the mikveh, as we said in the Mishnah over there from the Mikros, that all taharas that were made using pots or whatever that were dipped in that mikveh are vadai tameh, as opposed to in our Mishnah we're saying according to Hillel and according to Chachamim that anything that she touched before the 24 hours ago or back to her last bedikah or whatever is only tameh misafek. Okay, continues the Gemara. Mishnah mechabes. Okay. Another question we could ask, though, is why is this case different than the case of a barrel of wine? Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa. Hoya boidikas achavis, suppose a person has a barrel of wine, and what he wants to do is, he has one barrel of wine that he designates, that he wants to use that to take truma from it on behalf of his other barrels of wine. So instead of having to open every barrel individually and take out 2% for truma, he wants to set aside one particular barrel, and he's going to say, every time I have another barrel, I'm going to designate another 2% of this one as truma, and eventually after I do this 50 times, then the whole thing will be truma, and then I'll give it to the kohen, and then I'll give the whole barrel to the kohen. So suppose he's doing that. So suppose he's checking the Suppose he's checking a barrel of wine, lias mafish alei truma b'cholach, which he's going to be using it for. He's going to be using it to designate truma on behalf of other barrels. V'achatach nimta choymet, and eventually at some point he finds that the wine in this barrel has turned to vinegar. And now again, you have the question: how far back was it vinegar? Once it's vinegar, you can't use it for truma anymore because you can only do truma min al min, only from the same type of thing on the same type of thing. So you can give wine from one barrel for wine in another barrel, but you can't give vinegar on behalf of wine. So once it became vinegar, then any truma that he was trying to designate in this barrel is no good anymore. So the question is, how far back is it? So kol gimel yomim harishonim vaday. Throughout the first 3 days, it's a vaday. It's definite that it's definite. Rashi brings over here from a Gemara in Baba Basra, Machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, what it means the 3 days. Does it mean Rabbi Yechanan says it means that, let's say he last checked it 3 days ago, let's say he last checked it a week ago, let's say, and he found that he tasted it, let's say. Rashi actually says that Bodik means testing it. Many of the other Mephoshim disagree with that because they say, how can you taste it? It's Hevel or it's Truma. You can't be tasting it. So therefore they say you smell it. Whatever it is, the point is, let's say he last checked it a week ago. So Rav Yechanan would say that what the Mishnah means, what this Braita means is that, let's say you checked it on Sunday. So for the first 3 days after that, it's surely still wine. Because otherwise, if it was starting to turn already, you would have smelled or tasted vinegar already on Sunday. So therefore, when he says on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday that I'm designating truma from this barrel, Rabbi Yechanan would say that's still good. From Wednesday and on until the next time he checks, then you have a suffix because maybe it already turned to vinegar. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says the other way around. It means the 3 days or the last 3 days before you found that vinegar. So you went, let's say, on Friday and found that it's vinegar. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi would say any truma that you designated in this barrel on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday is for sure no good, and you have to redesignate from a different barrel on behalf of the other wine in order to be able to drink it. But anything before that is a suffix. Okay, anyway, the point is that we are going back. We are saying, Kol Gimel Yomer Shen Vadim Kanva Elach Suffix. We're saying that from then on there's a suffix. So Kasha L'Shamai. So now the question is on Shammai. Again, the same way as Shammai says in our Mishnah, Daya Shaita, we don't care about what happened before the Riyah. So the same thing we should say over there. We shouldn't care about what happened before he found it vinegar. We should assume that only when he found it vinegar, it was vinegar. And before that, not. Therefore, all the truma he designated out of it ought to be good. What's the difference? And again, going through the same discussion as before, yeah, but the reason is because against the chazaka of this barrel, whether it's wine or vinegar, against that you have the chazaka of the tevel that you're trying to separate truma on behalf of. So the chazaka of that tevel is it's still tevel. You have to keep it, keeps its chazaka. It may not have been corrected. It may not have had truma taken on its behalf. In order to say that it definitely was tevel at some point, to say that it's not tevel, just like we said before, but to say that a dish is definitely tahor, you need to know that that truma has definitely been taken. And here you can't, because you have a suffix. Okay, the question is, again, by the same logic, you could say give the wine in this barrel of chazaka, the emolei hechmet, and say that maybe it didn't sour until now. And again, the answer is like with the mikra, harehechmet b'fanecha. Okay, you see that it is vinegar now, so obviously at some point it went bad. So it no longer has that chazaka. So again, like we said before, hachanami haridam b'fanecha. Again, you could say with the woman in our Mishnah, you could also say now that we see that she bled, then obviously her chazaka is broken. What makes us say that it only happened now? And the answer is, again, we could say hashtahu dechazoni. We could say, with the case of the woman, maybe the bleeding only started now. Nu, hasam nami hashtahu dehechmet. And with the barrel, why don't you say that maybe only now it turned vinegar? And again, the Gemara answers, like it did with the mikvah, that there's a difference. Wine turns sour by stages. Haki hashtah, how do you compare? Hasam ikonema hechmet sva'asa, hechmet sva'asa. There it might have been gradually turning to vinegar. And as soon as it reaches the first, just like with mikvah, as soon as it reaches below 40, then it's no good. The same way with this wine, as soon as it reaches a stage where it's not drinkable, then it's already possible to be used for truma. And any further deterioration doesn't make that difference. It's already done, so it goes gradually. So now you find that it's very vinegary, but a day ago it might have been a little bit vinegary, and that's enough to make it possible already. as opposed to Hachami, Shlamim Chazoi Ba'Ota Chazoi Ba'Ota, as opposed to, again, the Gemara is using the assumption that when the woman bleeds, it's going to be all at once, it's not going to be piecemeal. And the answer is, and the question is, back on my kusha, what kind of a question is that? Of course there's a difference. Of course, it could also be, Zoma Hagas Hagas Chazifes. Again, with the woman also, it may be that each time that is filled up, then one drop leaks out. So you could say the same thing as with the vinegar, as it gradually turns. You could say with her, that it gradually leaks. And again, the answer
is... What? You explain Hagas means drop by drop?
No, Hagas literally means the bigger. So it means, in other words, Rashi explains, it means, in other words, like every time the uterus fills up, then one drop leaks out. You get to a point where, like, it's holding as much blood as it could, and therefore one drop leaks out. And sometime later, her body forms another drop of blood from this lining that's ready to shed, and then it's full up again, and then another drop leaks out, et cetera. It actually brings that comparison. You have a Mishnah in Shavuos that uses a similar expression, agas p'chila. You have an expression over there, let's say a person collecting pieces of wood from his field during Shemitah, where he collects agas. He collects the larger amounts. So the same thing over here, larger and larger amounts. Okay. So you could argue the barrel that gradually turns sour could be just like her that gradually, because not so to speak, gradually becomes nidya. Again, what it is in both cases, you have an inflection point where the barrel has become vinegar and is now possible for truma, or where she had a drop of blood and therefore becomes tamei nidya, and then afterwards you have other ones where eventually it gets to the point where it's undeniable. Just like with her, you may have one drop now and one drop later and so forth, and eventually it ends up being enough outside the uterus that it leaks out of her body, and then we actually see it. And the same thing with the vinegar. You have it starts becoming vinegar, but at that point, it wouldn't really be, at that point, you don't know about it yet because you didn't check it. A while later, it becomes more sour, and a while later, more sour, et cetera. And eventually, you open up the barrel and you snip it and you find, hey, this really is vinegar. So in both cases, you may have that in both cases, and then the same thing with the mikveh before. In all three cases, you may have where you have a certain point at which the status changes, but it changes in such a way, the change itself is gradual, such that you're not able to find out about that change until sometime later. So therefore, why should it be? Again, why should it be with the barrel? So horn the shamai, why with the barrel are we saying that there's a suffix going back several days, and with the woman and nidda we're saying that not? And again, the answer is again, the same answer as before. With the barrel, we have two chazakas to the barrel. Number one, that we found the barrel itself to be vinegar, and number two, that the table that we were trying to use the barrel for itself has a chazaka of still being table. Again, as opposed to with the woman, we only have one chazaka l'reisa, because we have before she was known to be tahor, and now we find her tamei. So therefore, again, the Shammai is going to say that's more reason to be lenient by her and say that we're not going to assume that it was any time earlier, that it happened only right now. Okay. So the next part of the discussion has to be, we still have to figure out the question. So now we brought a case of mikveh and we brought a case of a barrel of wine. But in the case of the mikveh, we said that everything that was dipped in that mikveh, everything, all taharis that were done that involved that mikveh, vaday tamei. In the case of the barrel, we said it's only a suffix whether the tevel is able to be eaten or not. So what's the difference? So that's going to be the next part of the Gemara, but that will be later. That you'll learn tonight, Pesach.
Very good. Thank you so much. So you'll be back someday?